Joshua chapter 4. I guess the subject of my sharing this morning is going to be, let us remember and not forget. Okay? God, throughout His Word, at significant events that happen all throughout history, marks certain things. He marks certain places, times, events with memorials, with a recognition, with Sabbaths, with special days that are to be remembered. He marks these things because, guess what? We forget all the time. And unless we remind ourselves and we let things slip in a remarkable way. And God did this here in Joshua chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 4. It says, "And Joshua called 12 men, the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord, Yahweh, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder." So it's not a little stone, you know, don't get a little rock. This is a big one, you know. "According unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, and that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What means ye by these stones? What's the purpose of these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." It was a memorial. You know, we celebrate certain days. Veterans Day, we were supposed to remember and be grateful for those who served. You know, Memorial Day, for those who have given their lives and paid the ultimate price. We as a nation, we celebrate Thanksgiving, to thank God Almighty, of all the religions, to thank God Almighty for what He has provided and the blessings that we have. We celebrate Christmas, maybe the wrong day, but the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we remember things we're supposed to, because we so easily forget. You know, do you remember when you first became a Christian? Do you remember the excitement, the thrill of when God really worked within your heart and life and you knew you were saved? You know, when you manifested the Spirit of God. I mean, when the Scriptures became alive to you. When you knew that when you read this, God was teaching you. Do you remember? This was powerful. And yet, sometimes we forget even those things. You remember your first love? You remember your marriage vows, for those of you who are married? You remember the dedication that you had to God and to each other? You know, some of you guys, I get to do a couple of times. You know, I did this 50th. But, or you knew the vows. But do you remember? You know, it's important. Go to Deuteronomy. God thinks it's important. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Moses instructs them before they go over. Remember, they have spent 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief of the previous generation. Now, you just picture these folks. You've been hanging out in the desert for 40 years because your fathers and your mothers didn't have the faith to walk into the promised land. So you had to wait till they all died off before you had your shot. I mean, some of us have lived, some of us haven't lived long enough to experience 40 years. Some of us have. That's a long time. So God is marking this occasion. And then he tells them, don't you forget. Don't you forget. And in chapter 27 here in verse 2, it says, and it shall be on the day when you shall go pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. These are different stones than the ones that they put on the shoulder. I want you to find great stones, huge, and then I want you to plaster them. And then in verse, look down, this is what they did with it in verse 8. And thou shalt write upon these stones all the words of this law very plainly. There's going to be a billboard. You're going to leave here. I want, you know, great stones, and they've got to be significant. And I want you to plaster them. And then I want you to etch into this plaster the words that I've given you in the law. And I want you to walk past this when you go into the land. This is visual. This is for remembrance. This is solemn. But it's important to remember. It's important to remember. Because he's going to say to them later, if you keep these words, and you're going to have prosperity and blessing and health and grace and my help, and you're going to be a great nation. And if you don't keep these words, then you're going to be cursed among all the nations that are out there. Your choice. But he puts it in front of them. You have this in front of you. You know, every day of your life, you wake up and you have the choice to pick up this and put it in front of you and recognize that I am a son, a daughter of Almighty God, and I have the blessing of doing what this says, and God will bless and help and keep me. And you also have the responsibility of knowing that if you treat it lightly, you won't have his blessing. Plain as simple as that. But it's always before you. You know, when they, escapes me what they call it at the moment, but the Jewish people would put on the door the scriptures. I have one on my desk. What do they call that thing? Yeah, it starts with an M. I forget. Nah. But anyhow, forget about it. It's my ignorance. I'm not a Jew. But they would put this on the door, and inside that tube would be written the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And keep the commandments of the Lord our God. So when you see this, every time you walk out the door, it was their tradition to put their hand upon it to remember. And I'll remember by the time I go home, I'll remember what it's called. But it won't do you any good, right? Doesn't matter. You get the point. Yeah, that might be it, yeah. But the point is, so remember. Yeah, we remember, we're supposed to remember those who taught us the word. You know, Paul said, I'm an example unto you. You know, we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and all that he did. We're supposed to remember those that have blessed us and helped us, loved us. You know, we just lost a beautiful sister in Christ, you know, Edie Perez. You know, she had an accident and she passed away and it broke my heart. Just broke my heart. I mean, I've known her 35, 40, almost 40 years. You know, I'll never forget. She was one of those great, quiet, but she was one of those great, wonderful believers who was a real asset to God, to his people. You know? We don't forget Connie Spiro. You know, others are the great and wonderful people that I've had the privilege of serving with all through the years. You keep them in your heart. But we are to remember and not forget. God is very specific with this, with him and his word. Again, I point out two particular places, but he's got this a great many places in the scripture. Go to Psalm. He wants his people to remember. How often does he say throughout the Old Testament, remember when you came out of Egypt and all that I did? Psalm 71. Because you know what? If you don't remember, then you'll lose it. You know, history is a funny thing. The guys who get to write the history books are the people who won the war, right? But you can trust that the Lord and what he wants you to think of and remember is good. In Psalm 71 and verse 18, if I get my Bible to turn to the page, it's stuck together. It says, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, I like this verse personally. Now, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is come. Give me the grace and the strength to share your grace, your power, who you are, to this next generation that comes. That's the purpose of every dad and every mom to their children, to every grandma and grandpa to the people, to every elder in the church to the youngers. That is our purpose, to share what God, who he is, his strength, his power, what he has done to the next generation. Isaiah 38. Going to jump around a little bit. Isaiah 38. Verse 19. It says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. That is, every time I'm with my kids, they're believers, they're wonderful people, and I remind them every time I'm with them about God. about his word, about his promises. I witness to my kids as believers. I witness to you. This is what we do. You keep it in the forefront of your mind, of your heart. You always keep it there. And you know, we do something really weird as human beings. We always remember the negative, don't we? You know, if you wanted to read the newspaper and the children of Israel were brutally beaten by the Egyptians, they finally got out. God does it the other way. God says, by my power and by my might, I delivered you from there. That's what he wants you to remember. Not how the heck you were treated back there and have an attitude against them. And that's what happens to people. They get bitter with their attitude and they just want to remember, and, you know. But from God's point of view, no. The blessing, the transformation, the power that delivered you from that bondage. It's a 180 degree difference in attitude, isn't it? You know, I can think of all the crisis that Mary and I have gone through in our life. And we've had enough. But every time I remember a crisis, I think of, and God delivered us from this and that and the other thing. Everybody in the McCabe household should be dead. My daughter, my son, my wife, myself. There's no question about it. But because of God's mercy, we get to praise him, love him. And, you know, with every crisis, we got stronger in our faith. You get stronger in your faith. You got to rejoice. Isn't that what it says in James? Yeah, because he helps every time you cry out. You just don't quit on him. And remember, go to Psalm 103. See, the world wants to remember the bitterness, the bad. You know, they'll take anything. But let's stay inside the church. You know, they'll take, this preacher did this bad, right? Maybe true, he's a human being. People sin. Or you want to forget the 40 years of what he did good and the blessings. See, just to remember the evil, that to me is like the gall of bitterness. It's a spiritually dead place to be. How about mom and dad? None of them were perfect, were they? I wasn't a perfect parent. The kids can remember the incidents where their father lost his mind and yelled at them for no good reason, and I was wrong. Or, and I know none of you people do that, it's just me. Or they can remember a lifetime of service and love and provision. What do you choose to remember? What do you choose to remember? Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And God, he doesn't ask us to remember them all because we don't. Just in some of the things I've said to you today, you've had to search back in your mind And maybe you should think about some of those things that happened and some of those deliverances that have happened to you and make them a little bit more clear in your memory. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thy iniquity, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You can read this on and on and on. Don't forget what he's done for you. Go to Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doings. It's a deliberate action on your part to sit there and remember and to think and to meditate. And I'm telling you, if you do this, whatever crisis that you're in the middle of, or whatever crisis that's coming up tomorrow, because they always show up. I mean, have you figured that out yet? I love the guys who think, when you become a Christian, nothing bad ever happens anymore. They couldn't have been Christians too long when they made that statement. It's just not the way life is. The Lord Jesus Christ tells the guys that are, he tells his men, he says, you love me, they're going to hate you. I mean, this is not the way to win friends and influence people. You know, this is not the way to sell people into my club. You know, when you sell something, oh, there's a benefit to me. No, Jesus said to them, they're going to hate you. They're going to throw you in jail. In fact, they think they'll do God a favor if they kill you. You want to be faithful? You want to walk with me? Thank God they did. But they didn't do it perfectly. You know, they couldn't be found at the cross. You know, the people who were found at the cross, you know, the ones that God wants us to remember, all those ladies, all the women. One of his apostles, you couldn't find them for dust. Peter was behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. You know, so much for being the rock. That's why, you know, when Jesus says, Peter, upon this rock, me, I'll build my church. You are a rock. I forget the Greek word, Petra. Petra. Right? Little tiny pebble. But upon this rock, Petros, this huge boulder, the one that you set up and you plaster and you put the word on, I'm going to build my church. Talking about himself. Peter is as good and as bad as all the rest of us. He's just a human being. We all do our best to stay faithful. We got good days, we got bad days. You know, God knows that you're grass. That's why he's so merciful. He's so merciful. Go to Psalm 106. You think it's important for you to sit down and be thankful for the way God worked in the person's life that witnessed to you? And maybe the angels that he sent to minister to you when you needed it the most. It says in Psalm 106, verse 7, it says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, and they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. But they provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. They didn't remember when they came out, the first generation. They did not remember. In 30 days' time, they forgot. Now, you go back and read that record. How do you forget that? But people do it all the time. You know, there's a good one. Go to Mark. Mary was sharing this with me last week. Mark, chapter 8. Now, you would think that Jesus would pick, like, the best people on earth to hold forth the word and to continue it on, especially knowing that he's going to leave, right? He's had to have picked the smartest, the top drawer. I mean, just the best of the best. Right? You would think? I mean, some churches got them with halos over their head and stuff. Other people, you know, I'm just saying. You would think. But then you look around us. You know, you just take a look around the room, and I have to think the same way about you. Usually what happens throughout all the years that I've been doing this, I'd look around the room and I'd say, look at how wonderful these people of God are. But then I'd think I wasn't so hot. They're all better than me. And I bet you all do the same thing. Well, again, doesn't make us right just because we think it, does it? My point is, watch his men here. And these are the people who hung out with Jesus. Chapter 8, verse 1. And in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For many of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him and said, whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded them, the people, to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. 7 loaves of bread. Now, even if you get those really long Italian loaves, it's 7 loaves. I mean, just think, you know, one of those 6-foot heroes, you know what I mean? And they had a few small fish. And he blessed, and he commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. The 7 baskets worth of leftovers from 7 loaves, which you could probably put in one basket. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Okay, you guys had lunch. See you later. Quite a miracle, isn't it? I mean, do you think? Are you impressed? Do you think he would remember this? And straight away, he entered into a ship. They got from there, and they got into a ship with his disciples, and they came unto the part of Dalmatia. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Now he was just, "Oh, Lord." And said, "Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." And he left them and entered into the ship again and departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have no bread." The Lord's talking, we don't have enough bread. And Jesus knew it. This is one day. One day. You feed 4,000, you get in a boat, you have a confrontation with the Pharisees, you get back in the boat, you go to the other side of the lake. And he says to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And they, "We only got one loaf of bread. We're going to go hungry." How dumb are we? Like I said, are these the best of the best of the best? They can't keep it together for 24 hours without doubting that they don't have enough bread to eat. After feeding 4,000 and having 7 baskets full of fragments left over from 7 loaves. So don't tell me how, "Yeah, we remember." Because you ain't no better than them, are you? It gets better. And Jesus knew it, verse 17, and said unto them, "Why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Are your hearts yet hardened?" See, this is what a hardened heart is. There are people out there, you know, they don't believe in God, right? They don't want to believe in God. He's a nuisance to them. And yet, when they're about to get hit by a truck or they're about to drop dead, they say, "Oh my God." Like it wasn't a prayer. There ain't too many atheists in foxholes when the bombs are flying around. That's an old saying, but it's so true. You know, nope. And then they'll talk about, you know, something really evil will happen. Why did God let that happen? You don't care about God all week, all month, all year, last 10 years, and yet you're the one going to judge God now. People are really kind of sick, ain't they? You're going to judge him because you think, when you have no idea who he is, what's going on in life. People don't know. They have hard hearts. They don't believe. These men, Jesus says to them, "Don't you perceive? Are your hearts still hardened?" 24 hours. And the people in his own fellowship can't figure it out. "Well, we don't have enough bread." There's only a couple of them. They're in a boat. My point is, how quickly
we forget. We forget so much. We forget so much. Thank God you have one day somebody says we ought to do this, a memorial. You know, we ought to remember. And then draw people's attention to it. And yet at the same time, as the years go by and by and by, so few people will even take up the time to remember. You know, God puts in his word, I want you to remember the day you left Egypt. Celebrate the Passover. And you do this with your family. And then remember that happened that day. And yet people will celebrate the Passover, but they won't remember what happened that day. You know, people will celebrate Thanksgiving, but never really stop and thank God for what they've had. It's corny. But I just want, this is how serious our lack of remembrance is as people. This is something that we, as human beings, this is not a strength. This is something that you have to stop and meditate and think deeply about. And when you do, you will build your faith. You will build an excitement. You will be thrilled with the day that you're facing, because you will know God is with you. These guys in the boat should have said, no problem, we will eat forever. We're hanging out with the Lord. I'll never have to think about going to the store again. Instead of thinking about, we don't have enough bread. And then he yells at them and he says to them, have you eyes, see not, having ears, you hear not, and do not remember? Verse 19, when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? How many prayers has God answered for you? I mean, that you got to smack yourself a little bit. How many prayers? How many times have you come to him and he has answered you? Then how dare we not understand that the next time we come to him in prayer, he hears and he will answer. He will answer. May not be exactly on your timetable, but he will answer. He doesn't want us to forget. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Says, wherefore remember, talking to you and to me, you remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without
Christ. I want you to remember, he tells us, in the middle of the book with the greatest blessings, do not forget that you were Gentiles in times past, and you were not promised a Messiah. Who was promised the Messiah? Israel. Any of you guys Israel? I mean, I don't want to knock you out in case you are. I didn't think so. You weren't promised the Messiah. There wasn't a single thing in Scripture that you were promised the Messiah. You had no Savior coming for you. Being aliens. You know what an alien is? Somebody don't belong here. You were aliens. You didn't belong. I know everybody's supposed to belong now. You didn't belong. You were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. You did not belong. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And in the Greek, those words, no hope, is in the absolute tense. You had absolutely no hope. And without, absolutely without God in the world. Now, you remember that, please. I know that everybody's supposed to get a trophy now in school. You know, you did it or you didn't do it, everybody gets a trophy. And that's not the way it works. You remember where you came from. You remember who you were, what your situation was, because you remember that you didn't have a Messiah coming and that you were without hope and without God. Then you read the words 13. But now in Christ Jesus, because of what he has accomplished on the cross, that's what it's going to talk about, because of what he accomplished on the cross for all mankind. But now you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Do you remember? In the law, it says, don't hang out with Gentiles. Don't eat with them. Don't go in their house. Don't do nothing with them because these are filthy people. That's what said in God's word. He took it all out of the way. All the ordinances. So that Israel, they were promised a Messiah, they killed him. I gave you the Messiah, you killed him. He died. Now I'll make both the Jews and the Gentiles one new people. By the cross. Most of the world does not believe that. Many Christians still believe the Jews, they got theirs, and we got ours, and everybody, it's still got God. It's not what it says, is it? Are they still without understanding? Jesus Christ died for every human being because all men were guilty of sin. God promised the Messiah, and the only people who were worthy at the time were that of Israel. And it was really only a couple of those people. Abraham, the number one.
and then David. Only a couple. In fact, the promise of the covenant says that was to Abraham and to his seed. Singular. You know who Abraham's seed was? This is a whole history lesson of the Bible. It was Christ. The covenant was to Abraham and to his seed. Everyone else would have to believe to receive it. God wants us to remember. He doesn't want you to walk out the door thinking I'm just a bum. No, he wants you to walk out the door with the positive. Even though I was what I was, God saved me, redeemed me, sent his son, and made me near to him, and has given me peace. That's what we're to remember. That's what we're to keep in our soul. And again, the prayers, has he answered? You've seen it in your life. I know you guys. If he's answered, he will continue to answer. Don't forget. Don't allow yourself to forget. Keep it strong in your heart. Praise him. Remember the 10 lepers that he healed? I will be thou healed. Go give you. One came back and thanked him. That's why praising him, thanking him, showing him by the words of our lips our praise, that's worship. That's all an individual can do. Give him the thanks and the praise he deserves. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning.